you love takeaway, travel, and international cuisines? Then you're going to love the Takeaway Man podcast. Join Kevin Kerwin, the Takeaway Man, as he searches for the best international food delivery services accompanied by popular musicians, comedians, and artists. But here's the catch. Each guest gets to pick their a food delivery service, order their unique menu items for up to $20, and give a thorough review on it so you can get the best value for your money next time you order takeaway. You can also enjoy the entire experience on Instagram by following at The Takeaway Man. Sit back and turn up the volume because Kevin is here.
Hello and welcome to The Takeaway Man podcast. Today on The Takeaway Man podcast, we have Ross Finan and Nev Lawless, both extremely, absolutely amazing photographers that are based in Dublin, Ireland. So today we are going to be getting some pizzas. So the two lads are after ordering some pizzas that are going to be based in Dublin. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Nev is Lawless Ireland. That's based up on Instagram, as well as you have your own website and all, and you're selling prints and all of that stuff.
I do, Kev, yeah. So it's Lawless Ireland is my Instagram page, and it's lawlessireland.com is my website. Don't really play with Facebook. I just got sick of the natter on there, having to talk to people. Like, Instagram is just a nice place just to post my images and connect with all you guys. Like,
happy days, yeah. No, I'm exactly the same. I still, with The Takeaway Man, I do have a Facebook page on it, but it's just sitting there. It's kind of dead in the water at this stage. I don't really know what the crack's happening with it. And Ross, I'll let you say your own handle, because you change your handle every 20 minutes. So I can't even remember the last time.
I changed it twice.
You've changed it too many times for someone. So what is your official Instagram? What is your official Instagram handle this week?
My official Instagram handle this week is Ross_Finan_. Originally, it was Ross Huawei, because I started out, you know, photography using my phone, which was a Huawei, and I actually work for Huawei. So, you know, I'm actually, it's something that I wanted to get into, and, you know, it's probably one of the best selling features of the phones themselves is the cameras. So I thought it would be a good way to show off the camera quality in the photos. And then started up that Instagram page, and then kind of just moved on from that. And the reason I changed my name from Ross Huawei is because I actually bought a Fuji. So I didn't want to, you know, confuse people and let them think the pictures from my Fuji were from my phone. So I wanted to kind of separate that. And I just call myself just my own name with some underscores. Because for some reason, I think I made not a fake one, but I made, like, you know, an Instagram page before, and obviously that name was gone, so I couldn't use that. My own name. So yeah, I do sell prints also. I don't have a website, but I do sell prints, and anything on my page is available.
Cool. Happy days. And that's kind of one of the main reasons why I wanted to get you guys both on the podcast today. One was because you're both industry professionals when it comes to photography. So Ross, I think your bread and butter originally started with the likes of the phone photography and mobile photography, and then with Nev, then he basically came in and blew everybody out of the water with some cool futuristic, you know, all of his kind of what's the name of that movie?
Blade Runner style.
Blade Runner.
Yeah. I think that's something everybody remembers, like, you know, they associate Nev with, like, you can really get those you know, misty neon light shots around Dublin that, like, no one else can seem to capture. Like, well, he captures it perfectly, and it looks just like Blade Runner. Like, it's amazing.
But that's just not me. That's like just getting out when it's nice and foggy and misty, and at 10 o'clock at night when you're supposed to go to bed, and you just get lucky. Deceiving people with what I think the world looks like versus what it actually looks like is something we try and do as much as we can, I think.
Oh, definitely.
People don't like to be faced with that fact that people use Lightroom or Photoshop and stuff to make things look better, but that's the way it is.
That is one thing that I actually it was a huge big eye opener when, like, following you guys on your Instagram and seeing, like, your stories and stuff like that, is when you actually do post up your original photo. But not only that, is then you do the how-to get to where you're at then when it comes to the actual edited piece or the piece that would be sold as a print then, you know. Which is, in one sense, which is absolutely mind-boggling, because I think there's so many people out there that think that, oh, I'm after buying a really expensive camera, and with this really expensive camera, I can now take photos like this. And you do have that sort of element to it, but there is also the sitting down, the rendering, the putting all the stuff, all these edits, all of your own, like, your own personal like filters and stuff like that, and gradients and all that kind of stuff, where people would just think, I have the most expensive camera, it's going to take the best photo.
Yeah, sadly not. Like, there's a good bit of work goes into photography, but like 90% of it is getting out and standing out in the rain, shooting on a landscape or on a beach or somewhere, or walking around the street at night, hope you're not going to get robbed by junkies or something. But that's the main part of it. But then you have to sit down and cull through hundreds or thousands of pictures every other month and select your best, work through them and try and edit them. So that whole process of tweaking your colors, tweaking your contrast, tweaking your levels, and just trying to make it more like our eyes see, because what you take on the back of a camera can't be replicated as what we visually see, really. So yeah, you're trying to sort of boost what we can get on a computer screen or your phone or a print, ultimately.
Yeah, that was one of the big things that I've noticed, especially because, like, I have a Canon 600D, I have the Huawei P40 Pro, I had all really, really good kind of cameras, you know. But one of the big things is that you're putting yourself in these situations where you want to take a really good photo, and you do think you take a really good photo, except for me, I had my sunglasses on at the time. And the whole thing was just destroyed, because what I thought, I was looking through the viewfinder and taking a photo, it was completely different.
Yeah,
because it was a polarized picture, there's filters, there's all this kind of stuff. And then when it came to editing, it just looked like a piece of shit. And it was just like, has there been any times where you've thought you've taken, say, like, this is my print, this is going to be like front page of the Irish Times, and you've gotten home and you've put it through Lightroom or whatever, and it's just like, where is this gone?
Yeah, 99% of pictures.
All the time.
Like, if you go on a day shooting around the street or something, you're like, oh, I took hundreds of photos, and you end up with like three that you keep, one that you might really like. So the culling process there is huge. Like, you really have to be a harsh critic, I think.
Definitely. And I think even like myself and yourself now, like sometimes when we go shooting together, we might go for a few points or something, and we take some photos, you know, after a few points, and we're like, Jesus, that's a daily photo. And then you get to see it the next day, and it's blurry as fuck, and it's out of focus. So you think it looks deadly, like, but yeah, that's happened more than once, I think, with me, for sure. It's all the fun of it, though. You know, you even after that, you still come up with some good stuff, you know. That's the whole point of it, is getting out and shooting. Like, you know, it's like anything. If you don't practice it, like, you don't progress. Like, you have to just keep going out and shooting. Otherwise, even with me, like, I think there was a stint there for a good few weeks that I hadn't even picked up the camera. And when I picked it back up again, like, you know, I was taking photos and like my exposure was all over the shop and my focus was wrong. And it was just took me a while to get back into, you know, shooting proper again, because I just, you know, like anything, once you stop doing it, you get rusty, really. Like,
Yeah, totally. Like, this, all this lockdown crack, there's been a lot more takeaways than photography, for sure. Like,
something that you guys dabbled on just a little bit earlier on was drinks. So you talked about drinking and drinking and photography, and, you know, so
I was putting a statement that this is like one, maybe once or twice we do this now. Like, on the beer every time we go shooting.
One thing that definitely is a credit to the likes of yourselves and the guys that you work with is there is a very, very good passionate community. Because there's been times now where I've been driving through town on the way home from work, and especially when it comes to sunsets and stuff like that, there's a group of like 10 lads, they all have tripods, some other guys are all doing that stuff, and you're driving past them and you're like, oh, I wonder, are they the lads? Like, because everyone's all connected, you know, and everyone has their thing, and it's definitely it's to be honest, it's kind of coming into a bit of a sport, really, where
you're right, Kevin. Like, yeah, it's sort of like it's not just the usual sort of hobby, that, but it is definitely massively increased with popularity, especially from Instagram and likes to say. But like, what you're saying there, like, I don't remember seeing people walking around the cameras the whole time and sitting or standing on the bridge with the tripods, but now it's just common occurrence, really.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And even when it comes to like groups and awards and stuff like that, Ross has been nominated for the IGers Award, and I think, Nev, you're one of the judges on it as well, aren't you?
So for this year, yeah.
You see, like, that's the thing, you know, like, to be able to create such a cool kind of community and go out and not only that, it's something where it's really cool is that you don't hold your secrets, you know. It's kind of like one thing that I've noticed as well when it comes to like the guys in Texas, when it comes to barbecue and stuff like that, they go, here's the meat we use, here's the sauce we use, here's our seasoning, best of luck. And they I think it kind of comes across as the same way with photography, because everybody is so open with it. You're posting up your shutter speed, you're posting up like all that kind of stuff, you know, you're posting up all the aspect ratios and all, and even the computer programs that you've edited on, the camera equipment that you've used, and then you just kind of stand back and go, best of luck using that.
It's all a format, isn't it? It's not just, you can have all the settings and gear and all you want, but you have to be able to go out, you have to be out in the right conditions or finding the right scenes and stuff. So, you know, you can give a man a way of doing something, he can go do it, but ultimately they have to figure it out themselves. Like,
you have to be willing to put your €3,000 camera down the side of a pool of junkies piss to take a photo of a reflection.
I keep breaking up here. I'm going to try my Wi-Fi again, right?
On that bombshell, so what happened was is when Ross went in and put his original order through for his pizza today, he instead of going with his favourite, you know, his kind of locals only, he said, oh, there's a new pizza place that they're coming up. It's just come up on Just Eat. There's no real reviews on it. So he says he'll give it a bash. But it's actually so new that the restaurant didn't even know their menu. So when it was delivered out to him, they forgot a load of stuff. They forgot his side order, basically. And he rang them up and your man was like, oh, no, that's not there. And he was like, oh, no, it is. It's on Just Eat. And he's like, ah, Jesus, it is. Sorry about that. Sure, we'll send one over to you now. That's great. So that's why Ross is running around like a headless chicken there to try to get everything sorted.
Yeah, you don't mind at all once if they're like, oh, our bad, we'll sort it out. A couple of weeks ago, me and my girlfriend, we got McDonald's, being the ultimate fat bastards. It was only up the road. They shipped out all the stuff, but there's no fries with any of the orders. Like, what? So we rang up McDonald's, like, yeah, you give us McDonald's, but no fries. So that's absolutely pointless.
What's the point?
That's and that is.
Manager McDonald's like, nothing to do with us, it's Just Eat's fault, they forgot to bring it and ring up Just Eat, and they're like, McDonald's,
they love put in the bag, like, Just Eat, don't they?
And we spent hours like trying to fucking get our money back and treat everything, it's a disaster. So fuck you, McDonald's. Keep that in.
Yeah, like that is the thing though, and it's what people don't really understand is when it comes to order and takeaway, like if you do want to support the likes of a local restaurant or any of that kind of stuff, you are going to have to just order it from their website, order it from the likes of the Boujon website, whatever, because there's no cut, there's no feed in, all that kind of stuff. So when you're ordering from Just Eat are basically, or Just Eat, Deliveroo, Uber Eats, whatever, they are a courier company. That's it. It's a company that will bring it from A to B to you for, at the time, it was amazing price. It was like, what, £2 to get it delivered? Sure, I'm not walking up the road, I'll just get it delivered £2. Like, we had George Motes on the podcast there, and they've had delivery over in New York for Jesus, however many years now. And we're only really starting to dabble into it, but he ordered a pretzel, a schnitzel, and a pint, and it came in at nearly $50. But $20 of that was to do with taxes and charges and all this kind of stuff. Like, so you're the restaurant themselves, they get charged per order, per item, as well as then like an overall delivery fee. So any of the food that you're ordering, and this even it's the same in Ireland, is that there's always going to be a different price. There's going to be a Just Eat price, a Deliveroo price, and then your standard restaurant walk in the door price.
Yeah, I find as well on like their own official websites, they actually have better deals, you know, like different deals they'll post up on. What was one? I think there's a chicken place in town or just in Stony Batter there called All Bar Chicken. Absolutely savage. Like the wings are amazing and the chicken burgers are really, really good. But they do all these different kind of deals. But like Just Eat will only show you half of the deals they do. Whereas you go onto their website, they've actually got way more. Like, and like for what you get, like value for money is really good. But like probably some of the best wings I've tried now in a while.
Oh, big statement.
Yeah, yeah. We had this conversation the other day. Best wings in Dublin, and it's I don't know. I think some people like certain type of wings as well. Like, you know, big, juicy, meaty ones, but they have to be buffalo sauce and doused, but like can't be too vinegary either.
Yeah.
And they have to have a nice big, like, slab of shtick of celery as well. I think that's key. One of the little tiny little
weird thing,
tiny bits of celery, a big slab of celery, a big massive stick of it.
Yeah, the celery for me is the thing that automatically goes straight in the bin. I'm like, oh, I sound like stir the sauce with it.
No, no, that's what cleanses your palate so you can get more wings into you.
I just inhale the things. I'm like Homer Simpson eating them like a duck, like bones and all at one stage. I didn't even care. And one thing that I'd love to bring into Ireland though would be lollipops. Have you ever seen chicken lollipops?
Chicken? Well, it's on sticks.
So basically what you do is you have your original sort of drumstick that you'd get from the chipper or whatever, but you cut the top part of the skin down and then get all of the thigh meat and then bring it down with all of the skin at the very bottom, and then you'll oven fry them that way. Put tin foil on the top of the bone and then you oven fry them with hot sauce, whatever. So basically you're getting about 10 chicken wings in one, but they're called lollipops. They're chicken lollipops. I think they'll sell millions in Ireland.
Sounds real, actually, yeah.
I'll post a bit.
Do a picture. I'm intrigued now because I've never seen anything like this.
I'll be my own producer. I'll be my own Jamie today.
Bring up a picture.
Yeah, bring it up there.
Yeah.
So get ready for this.
Yeah, I think for me,
so the here best we go.
Wishbone. Give us a look at these.
These are called chicken lollipops.
Holy shit, they're fucking savage looking.
Oh. So it's kind of like
they look good.
It's getting 10 chicken wings in one, but you still have all of the sauce. You see, and then the way they come out. So when they wrap them in tin foil, it means that the bones won't shatter when you eat them and you pick them up. So and then that's, see, like both of these ones. You know, I honestly think these would be the next ones. You know.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. To the listeners that can't see this, it looks like they look like nearly like lamb shanks or something with the bones sticking out.
Yeah, that's what they look like.
Yeah,
with the tinfoil on the bone.
Yeah, tinfoil
on the bone. Some of them kind of look like onion bhajis the way they're fried.
Some of them are a bit onion bhaji. The likes of these things. Yeah.
Oh my god, they're mad looking.
Yeah,
they look good though.
Yeah, no, they're whopper like so, and that's the thing, because it's the Thai meat as well, it's kind of the dark meat, so it tastes real nice. We went through drink. So drink, for me, it's something that Ross is going to rub me up the wrong way. I know it's going to be horrible, but water.
Fizzy water all the way.
Still
sparkling
water.
Yes. I listened to you before, giving out about sparkling water. It's so refreshing. And you know what? It's great for your teeth because you're not drinking all the sugary bits. If you're trying to give up fizzy drinks, fizzy water is amazing. It's also amazing when you're hungover. It's so refreshing.
Straight up lies. Neville, what's your views on
that? There's going to be people who agree with me, though. I know that, Neville.
With a takeaway, no. No way.
But, so you see what happens if you see them in.
Yeah, I would never order with a takeaway, but I like drinking it. Like, I'd always order a can of Coke.
Takeaway talk, like, no.
Oh, right, okay. I just thought you said which you prefer. I prefer sparkling water to still water. But if I'm getting a drink on my takeaway, I'd always order like a can of Coke, OG Coke.
You can actually get like natural still. You can get natural spring water that does come in kind of like semi kind of carbonated as well. I like that stuff. You know, when you kind of go into a fancy restaurant and you go in and they give you the bottle of water and you're like, hold on a minute. I'm actually getting 4 bottles of water and they've charged me €15, even though you think you're getting them for free.
That's the good stuff.
It's so good though. Like that water is absolutely amazing.
Can I just point out while we're out on drinks as well, another thing I love is, you know, sometimes, you know, in the shops, you can only buy like the tall cans of Coke now.
Oh yeah.
But when you order a takeaway, you sometimes get the lovely little stubby cans.
Mm.
So much better than tall cans. I actually think they taste different.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah.
glass bottles game different game.
Like. Exactly. It's like Coke out of a glass bottle, Coke out of a bottle, Coke out of a can. They all taste different to me.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Definitely.
Big time. So, and that kind of moves us in. So we kind of go water, fizzy drinks. And now we're on to the most Irish question that we have. It's the question that causes the most controversy on the podcast so far. It's alcohol. With the likes of the alcohol stuff, it's actually kind of goes into another cool transition of to where I got my beers from today. So I've been ordering because I live down the sticks and there's no proper off license and stuff like that. Now I have to start ordering my beers Basically, I like kind of craft beers and stuff like that. So I ordered them from craftdirect.ie. And because I've been ordering so many beers, and I've explained to them that it's going to be on the podcast, Eamon and craftdirect.ie sent me a couple of little sneaky ones. Lovely. So, yeah, I'm after today. Okay. I'm going to be going with a Smash IPA from Wicklow Wolf, as nice. Well as, or it depends and see how we go, Lochgill. Cutback New England Session IPA as well. So I kind of went with two light beers to go well with a pizza. You don't want a real kind of heavy stout or anything like that for a pizza. Mm. So they're kind of the two alcoholic beverages that I have today. But what about you guys? Are you guys on the fizzy drinks? Are you having a few beers? What are you thinking?
Yeah, just got a Coke Zero with the pizza. There's a lot of beers yesterday. So working
off the runoff. You're off the off.
Generally, if we're getting takeaway, I wouldn't get any beers or anything.
Yeah,
like that's wings. I always have beer with my wings.
Yeah.
Always a good combo to have a nice Peroni or like a Heineken with your beer or a light lager, you know.
Cool. Well, no, that's I honestly think like it has to be kind of like a really cold, the likes of a refreshing. I kind of go into more of the IPA stuff now, or even a Heineken, just a standard cold Heineken. But sure, Jesus, what I do to get a draft pint of Heineken right now? Oh my god. the struggle is real.
Just need something crisp and refresh to sort of clean the palate. Like, yeah, definitely.
That's exactly it. Deal, no deal. All right, so the next sort of questions is actually to do with the meals that we got today. So unfortunately, because I live down the sticks and it's a bank holiday Monday, all of the restaurants and all of the stuff that I would have kind of wanted to support or whatever, they're actually all closed today because of the situation that we don't want to talk about. So I went to Super Value and I got like the next best thing, which is their sourdough, non-sponsored sourdough pizza. It's amazing. It cooks in 15 minutes. And yeah, probably feed about family of four or one fat guy. So yeah.
Small portion.
And then I went with as well with some Super Value chicken goujons. Which are there already gone. I'm after inhaling them at the start. But what about yourselves, guys? What did you go with today?
All right. So I got I live in Inchcore in Dublin 8. So there's a nice Italian restaurant down in Kilmainham called La Dolce Vita. So I hopped on to Just Eat. So it's an Italian restaurant, obviously. I popped on to Just Eat and just flicking through the pizza prices. They're all about 16, 17 euro for a single pizza. I was like, oh, it's a bit pricey.
Bit much.
Then I saw the Monday to Thursday deal. It's a bank holiday Monday. So I got two pieces for 18 euro there. So right. Happy out. Ah, so, one for me, one for herself.
One for herself as well. Good stuff. And does it come with any sides or whatever?
Yeah, I just got some garlic pizza bread and garlic bread. So, nice proper, like soft thin crust pizza. It's much more for. I got nice goat cheese, pepperoni, and caramelized red onion.
Nice.
Delicious. Yeah, very good.
And what about yourself, Ross? What did you get? Did you get any meal deals? Well, I think we kind of
got a meal deal, right? So I ordered from a new place that I've never ordered from before. It seems to be relatively new. I live in Blanchardstown, so Dublin 15 area. And I came up on Just Eat. It's called Pizza Express. And I went for the meal deal for two special. So you get a pizza, cheese fries, queso fries they're called, and I got chicken dippers, but you can pick like nachos and other fries and stuff as well.
Cool.
So, and then I got two dips and two drinks, and it was all together, it was like 20 euros and 99 cents plus delivery charge. So I thought it was like really good value for everything. That's you really get good, there.
Yeah.
For 20 quid, like you're getting a pizza, two sides, two dips and two drinks.
Can't go wrong with that. And how many people does it say?
Domino's would be hitting 30 quid with that one.
Yeah, easily. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a big fan of Domino's. I think they're very overpriced for what you get. But this is actually really good. The pizza's pretty decent, you know. If I was comparing it to Sano yesterday, there's like it's a different style of pizza, you know, altogether, I think. But it's actually really good. The toppings and all are really good and fresh and nice. And the cheese fries are amazing. Cheese fries are really good.
Happy days. And,
they're very similar to the Eddie Rockets cheese fries with that cheese sauce on them. Nice. It's not like grated cheese, so like they're really, really good. Really tasty.
Melty cheese.
Can I add, it feels nice. Rather than just stuffing my face watching Netflix, just talking about food, I feel a bit less scummy. You'd make dirty jokes. <Yeah. laughs>
Feel justified tonight in this instead of just doing it in front of the TV.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, lads. I'm more than likely going to get 4-1 after this now. About 10:30, you know, just go in and just sit there and start crying. The usual work in the morning kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Box of rainy, yeah.
Yeah. As you can see, the dog and the cat are in the background. The two of them are actually best buds. Gloria is now turned into George because... I fattened the cat up so much that I didn't know it had testicles. And when I brought the cat to the vet, the vet was kind of like, "Why did you call your cat Gloria?" And I was like, "Oh, well, it was because it was called Scabby, and it was a real kind of scabby cat. But it's not scabby anymore because I've been taking care of it. So I needed to change the name. So I changed the name to Gloria." And he's just like, "That's a female cat's name." And I was like, "Yeah, it's a female cat," like, and he just sort of looked at me with 10 heads. Anyway, I bring the cat back to the vet and all, and I was like, "Yeah, grand." And your man, because you only saw her there like a couple of days ago, and he's like, "Still going with Gloria, yeah?" I was like, "Yep." I have a male cat named Gloria because I'm not changing her name anymore, his name, whatever. So, yeah, that's the crack. The two of them.
That's the only thing you've misgendered, Kevin.
I think one of the biggest things that I've definitely missed is just being able to, because I moved down to Wicklow, but I'm not that far away. Like, I'm 40 minutes away, but I may as well be on a different planet, you know, because it's like, even in regards to say like takeaways and stuff down here, and it's actually happening to a lot of people. It was where, like, there's literally just the chipper and just the Chinese. If I wanted to go and get like a Domino's or a KFC or whatever, I have to drive to a different county. Like, I have to drive to Carlow in order for me to do that. And then that's the thing. Like, so I don't know. It kind of puts it in a bit of a perspective when you have to go and cook your own food for once. But it's not great when you're called the takeaway man and that's all you do is eat takeaway food. So it's a bit much.
Takeaway, bro. I didn't hear
no bell. So we have the next question is I didn't hear no bell. So that was the main meal. So we kind of talked about that already. And what toppings, or was there any sort of fusion mashup? One thing that's kind of happening now is you're kind of getting these kind of like hoisin duck tacos or Szechuan tacos or anything like that, or kind of like fajita chicken or like chicken tikka and stuff like that as toppings on your pizza. So was you just go standard pepperoni, or was it anything kind of fancy?
Well, yeah, no, mine is classic Italian. It was it's ghost cheese, pepperoni, and some nice caramelized red onion. So it's classic enough, I suppose. It's tasty.
Nice. And Ross, what about yourself?
I went for like this Tuscan chicken one, so like chicken. It actually has like Italian sausage. Like, it's like proper like chicken breast pieces with real thick ones. So pretty good. Mushroom peppers and some olives as well.
Cool.
That was really good.
Happy days. Then after the meal, so we're after finishing all the meals there, how are you feeling? You feel like you can go out and run a marathon? Are you like, what's the crack?
Oh yeah, sure. Definitely. That's exactly not what I'm gonna do now.
Going for a snooze in front of Netflix after this, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So go for a little sneaky sleep. And then one thing as well, which is the dreaded word that happens to anybody that likes kind of eating food and eating out on a regular basis is intolerances. So has there ever been a case where you've kind of gone in and you've eaten something? I know Ross has happened a good few times since I've been with him, at the time where he's gone, "What you mean there's cream in that donut?" And he's like sprinted off down the road going, "Oh, Jesus." So what about yourselves? Has there ever been a case where you've eaten something where you were like, it's all right. Sure, I love raw shellfish or something along them ideas, and it kind of rubbed you up the wrong way.
Definitely. I was in Morocco a good few years on holiday, and we're in the Medina, the big square there, and go around, you smell all the food and all the sights and stuff, but they had like sheep's brains as some delicacy. I was like, I'm the man, I'll try this, I'll do a challenge here. Sat down and a plate of sheep's brains looks exactly what it sounds like. It's a horrible looking brain looking thing.
Like a jelly.
Yeah, it was absolute. I'll never do it again. Anyway, so we ate that, and that's fine. Went home for night. And maybe was it something other, another bit of food along the way of the holiday, but the next day, my girlfriend, she was very sick. And I thought I'd escaped. That was grand. And we're actually on the way down to the beach then just to recover. And I was standing at the traffic lights and pressed the button and like, we need to go back right now. I had to run back to the hotel with like my legs closed. And yeah, then we spent 2 days of our holiday then like tag teaming each other in and out of the bathroom. It was not a way to see Morocco anyway. So sheep's brains, leave them off the menu.
And that is the thing though. Why is it that is when you do go on holidays, is that you go, oh, sheep brains, that's an amazing idea. And you just start like stuffing your face with something you've never eaten before. I think one of the big things for me was when I went to, when I was over in Bangkok and I was just eating like kind of meat on a stick. And your mom was like, oh yeah, it's pork or it's cow or it's whatever. And there was a couple of times where I just went and I bit into something and I was like, this ain't good. Like it tasted good at the time or whatever. It was a bit funky. And one thing was is like people were giving out, like scorpions and crickets and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, all right, cool. But then when you talk to the local people, you're just kind of like, oh yeah, no, they're literally only for tourists. Like not that many people eat them, you know? Like it's just a piss take. Like,
Yeah. I think there's some things that I'd like to sort of just do whatever you can when you're away. But yeah, there's some dodgy food I'll just try and avoid in future. Cause food poisoning is one of the worst things you can have. Like
it's so bad.
Yeah. So bad.
What about you, Ross? Has there ever been any sort of time where you've eaten something and you've instantly regretted it?
Yeah, I suppose in China I had chicken's feet. That was an experience. I think it's more, it's definitely a visual thing as well when you're eating chicken's feet. You know, they don't look appealing at all. Like they look like little dinosaur feet they're not great. Now, if they're doused in a nice enough sauce, you probably won't. They just taste like chicken. But like, I wouldn't go eating them again in a rush. But yeah, I suppose I have, as you said, I have a bit of a dairy intolerance. So, you know, it doesn't stop me from eating food at all. I still do it all the time when I shouldn't. I suppose if you want an embarrassing story.
Ah, no, there's no embarrassing stories here. I think we're all in the same boat.
No shame at all anyway, so I'll tell you anyway. But I was in town one time. I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Like, it's closed down now, but it was on just the end of George Street there. It's like Bow Lane or somewhere like that. Mm. Fryer Grill or something, I think it's called. The White Fryer Grill. And lovely restaurant. Food was great. But I remember it was something like a leg of lamb with like mashed potatoes. It was, you know, proper buttery, creamy mashed potatoes. There was obviously a lot of dairy in it. Mm-hmm. And then the person I was with also got this like chocolate mousse dessert. And I was just like, they didn't like it. So I ate it. And I remember getting the taxi home and we were coming through the Phoenix Park, not too far from where I live, but like, obviously, it was about to pour through me, like, and I remember, you know, like the handle at the top of the window. I was like grabbing that, and the sweat was streaming down my face. And I actually had to get the taxi. I was like, "Can you please just pull over?" I actually thought I was going to have to go behind the tree in the park. But when I got out of the taxi, right, you know, like when you stand up, you get that kind of instant relief. Because when you're sitting down, you've got all this pressure and you just feel like you're going to explode. But when I got out and I actually walked over towards behind the tree and I was like, do you know what? I'm not going to do it here. I'll be able to get back. So I jumped back in the taxi and I was like, can you please just go as fast as you can to Castleknock Village? Dropped us at the pub. And I swear when I got to the pub, I just threw my wallet at the person I was with and I ran into the bathroom straight down and I just made it. But I could have easily gone all over the floor in the pub on the way down to the bathroom and say, very, very lucky. But that's what dairy does to me sometimes, you know.
Like, and that's the thing, I'm the exact same, but like I could go sit here now and I'm after eating a pizza or whatever and I'd be grand. It's like, oh, cool. But then I'd be like lying in bed, or it'd be like 1 o'clock in the morning, or I wake up and I'm like, oh, bitten off more than you can chew there, lads, you know.
Like cheese is so good, you cannot, like, you know, Pizza. I just had a pizza there, loads of cheesy chips. I'm gonna regret it tomorrow. I'm sure, but like, it was worth it. It was so worth it.
So the Hometown Heroes, basically, what is your favorite restaurant, takeaway, or food truck? Now, this necessarily, it doesn't have to be in where you're currently living. It could be in anywhere that you've ever been, really, to be honest. So it could be a place where if you flew into, say, like the likes of New York or whatever, if you've been on holidays in a certain restaurant in Spain, like with me and Ross, we have the Camp Pilot stuff. I know for a fact we would probably murdered the pronunciation of that restaurant's name. If I was flying into Ibiza now, that would be the first restaurant that I'd go to. Is there any sort of restaurants like that that you just love to go to if you've gotten the chance? Or it could be at home by yourself, whatever. It's just a place that it's amazing, you know, and you'd go every time you're there.
Yeah, I definitely didn't prepare enough for this. But definitely some of the best food I have had was in Austin in Texas, you know, a big barbecue scene over there. I didn't make it into General Franklin. Barbecues were probably one of the most famous barbecues in the world because they literally start serving out food at 7 o'clock in the morning, and when it's gone, it's gone. So missed out on that. But just the buzz over there of like just the sun, the warmth, just the atmosphere, and just eating barbecue like a real go. It's definitely up there on my list of food destinations. Yeah. If you don't like meat though, you won't like Austin.
What about yourself, Russ?
I suppose my favorite place, restaurant, it's kind of hard to think of restaurants now because like nowhere is open.
Yeah.
You know, like usually it's nearly, it's a good few months since I've been to a restaurant. And I think the last one that I was in was Sprezzatura in town, which is an Italian pasta place. And I absolutely love it. Like for the last year or two, like it's the best place I've been to, hands down, for a couple of reasons. One, the food is absolutely insane. Like it's fresh pasta made, like literally fresh every day. And they have all different specials. They like have like a duck ragu, and everything is like up on a nice chalkboard. I love the layout of the place. They have wines on tap, which I love. Nice wines as well. And then the price. So like I think if you went for a meal with you and your partner, like you could get, you know, two mains, two starters and two drinks, and it'll cost you like maybe 40 or 50 euro, like under 50 quid. Wow. Like the price, like it's absolutely insane the quality of food you get for like what you're paying. And that's one thing that I love about it. It's like they don't try and overprice the food. They keep the menu simple, and they don't try like to overcomplicate things. It's just so good. Like really, really, like has to be my favorite restaurant. But yeah, like there's plenty of there's a lot of food trucks that have popped up in the last while now that I'm a big fan of as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of pop up restaurants, and you know, Happy Endings, I tried that last week. That was the chicken burger place. That was absolutely insane. The Yuksung fries and the poutine fries, and that's one of the fusion things you were talking about. I thought that was amazing.
Well, that's the place on Dorset Street.
Right. Yeah, so they have two. They opened the pub up here in Dublin 15 as well.
Okay. Right.
So yeah, if you get a chance to try it, man, it's so good. It's really, really good. Yeah. I got the Jimmy burger. I think it was like the satay one. It's got little bits of like other pineapple or mango in it. It's so good. Like, really good.
Do you know what? I've just noticed now the reason why the dog's going mad is because she thinks you're here and she keeps on trying to look for you.
Me?
Yeah. Because she's never done this before on any of the other podcasts. So yeah. She's freaking out. But, cool. Yeah, no, that's like the Happy Endings place is great. I'm just trying to think like any kind of iconic restaurants that I've ever kind of been to where it was something that I'd definitely go back to. And I think one of the best experiences that me and Ross have ever had was when we went to Frank's and I drank wine for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. And that was like a memorable night. Do you want me to tell a story or do you?
No, you tell the story. You can throw me under the bus if you want. But I'll let Ross tell this story.
So it's very funny. So Kev was like, I got this. I hadn't heard of Frank's before. It's actually a really cool concept. And it's basically, it's an old butcher shop and they have this big, massive butcher blocks table. So it's kind of like a joint dining experience for you and other people. I think it's like 10 people sitting there or something like that. But they have all these, like, you know, wine pairings, which are meal. And it was the first time we met Jeremy, who has the tackle truck, and he was doing the night there. And, like, the food was insanely good. But, like, you're literally, he's cooking it in front of you. So it's, like, a real personal experience.
Good.
Like, I was driving and Kev wasn't. So this is usually your first, because, like, usually the other way around.
Yeah.
And Kev doesn't drink wine. Kev never drinks wine. I want to pair some wine. I was like, I can't. I'm driving. So Kev will. So, like, with every course, I think there was, like, five or seven courses, like,
yeah,
he had a glass of wine with each course. And, like, he was scuttered by the end of it, like. And it was me and Kev, two lads, and then it was all, like, couples who were there for, like, you know, a really nice night. And say we were ruined by the end of it. Like, Kev was so, I don't know, you weren't that bad. You were a bit late. Myself, Kev, and Jeremy were, like, had such, we built up this, like, bromance over the evening, and we're, like, we went out to visit him the following weekend in his tackle truck, and so that, but, like, Kev was shouting across the table to him, and everyone's like, Jesus, let's get out of here, like, this is getting out of hand, like, wine drunk Kev.
Oh, it was, like, I think one of the, like, the biggest eye-opener thing for me was, as I thought this was an exclusive, yo, I didn't know he had an Irish missus, and I didn't know that, like, he was going to be here afterwards, because, like, the tickets were expensive enough, but it was a cool kind of thing.
It was
7 meals or whatever. Like, it was class. But I just thought, like, it was going to be, like, a once-off kind of thing. And, like, oh, no, this chef is just going to come in. Turns out he lives up the road.
No.
he lives up the road. And so he turned around, and I was like, oh, man, a safe home and all. And he was looking at me going, what are you talking about? I live in Dublin, you mad thing. Oh, shit.
I have a similar wine story as well. Actually, you just remind me there. A couple of years ago, we went to Peru to go up, like climb up Machu Picchu and stuff. And when you go to Peru, up to Cusco, the altitude there just gets you, like, it hits you like a ton of bricks. So it's up about, like, 3,500 meters or something. So instantly, when you get off the plane and stuff, you feel like a little bit woozy and lightheaded and stuff. So me and Erica, we packed our bags into the hotel and said we're going to Cusco just to chill out for the day, just get a bit of food and back and relax. And we sat down in a restaurant and very simple, same as yourself, like a sort of a shares table. We thought, we'll have a little bit of wine with dinner, like, I'm not thinking that a bottle of wine would go a lot further when you're up at that altitude.
Oh, yeah.
So, we were, like, talking into her, a bit of plate of food and half a glass, and you're like, wow, I feel fantastic now. I can drink a bit of wine, but we had a bottle of wine between us, and the two of us had to be sent home to bed basically for the whole day. We lost the first day of holiday. So drinking at altitude is the best way to get drunk cheaply.
There you go.
Fly me to the moon. Fly me to the moon. And the first question is, any tips or tricks that you've acquired over the years in regards to traveling around the world? So I think you kind of read our minds on that one. So if you want to go get locked, go take an airplane or go climb Machu Picchu.
Good altitude.
Yeah, also, yeah, Cusco has the highest point of Guinness. There's an Irish bar there. Supposedly it's the highest point of Guinness in the world. So it's two bucks there.
A few days. The one thing I definitely kind of wanted to talk to you guys about, and something that I have here in notes, is when it does come to traveling with camera equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you probably haven't done that much international traveling, but we did go down to Killarney and stuff like that in Kerry, and I know, Nev, that you were kind of traveling all around Ireland at the time. But, like, at the end of the day, we're carrying thousands of euro worth of camera equipment in your car, and we're camping and all that kind of stuff. Is there any sort of, like, tips and tricks that you have, and so things don't get broken, or, like, what way do you do? Do you just keep it on your body at all times, or what way does it work?
No, I think investing in a good, like, camera bag was the best way. So you just, everything's packed in nice and tight in the camping ground. I never check in a camera gear at all. I just bring that as a luggage, like, onto the plane with me. Other than that, though, like, camera gear is fairly sturdy, and, you know, if, like, it's a toolbox, really. If you want to keep it in pristine condition, off you go. But mine's bashed up and salted every week I go out, so that's me personally. But some other people might cherish their stuff, but with insurance and the like. But I think it's as long as you just look after it and don't get it wet, keep batteries charged up, you're good to go.
What about you, Ron?
An SD card. Don't forget your SD cards.
I know
Muno's done that. And remember, we hiked up Cairn Tool. We got to the very top of Cairn Tool, and Muno had his camera with him, and someone got proposed to, like, literally behind us, and Muno was taking loads of pictures, And after he realized there was no SD card in, and he's like telling them that he emailed the pictures to them and all. So like, one thing is to always remember to bring extra SD cards or like keep them in your camera. I'm notorious for it. I'll take it out, and because I have an SD card reader here, and I'll put it into my computer to put them onto, you know, Affinity Photo. And next thing, I'll always end up leaving one in, but I have two, so I always have one in the camera at a time. But like, it's so easy to forget them.
I honestly think
you could be planning out to go to location. You've done all your planning. Conditions are perfect. You know, you could be going out to do Astro or something, and like, you get there and you have no SD card, so you've literally wasted all your time. So yeah, that's a big one.
I honestly think in this day and age, cameras shouldn't turn on without the SD cards in them. Like, it's
I think my one, it'll flash on the screen when there's no SD card in it. But yeah, I think some of the Sonys it lets you do it with it.
You should beep if you leave the house without it.
Or I don't understand why cameras just don't have a set integrated, like 32 gigs integrated memory built into the
camera.
And then like, because if you're there and it's in a case of an emergency, like there, I don't know how many times there's ever been cases where you want to take a photo or you want to do something. And you're like, I don't care about my wedding pictures. Delete. I want to take this picture of a swan or the two swans that are meeting. They're both their heads made a love heart for this one time, and the sun sets in the middle. You'll delete anything to get the photo. Like, that's the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe we could make up some sort of petition or something and say that there should be a guaranteed internal memory on all professional cameras going forward or something. It's so strange that there isn't, like.
No, you're totally right. Like, it's a, maybe there's a conspiracy behind it. Kevin, we should look into it.
That's it. And so the next question then, what are your mains do's and don'ts when it comes to going to a new restaurant or using sort of new equipment? One of the main things is that I've noticed I bought a drone and I was like, oh, grand. And I went in and was messing about with it. But our first sort of maiden voyage was me and Ross, and we were up the Wicklow Mountains. And it turns out that, like, the app that I downloaded wasn't the correct app and all this kind of stuff. Has there been any sort of things like that have ever happened to you in regards to traveling or when it comes to using new equipment?
I'd say one thing is, if you're going to get into, like, photography as a hobby, is just spend the money upfront for good stuff. Because I'd say Ross will agree with me. Like, at the moment, I've bought, like, four or five shitty, crappy tripods that have all gone to shit, and then you have to splash out 300 euro on a good one that you keep forever. Same with lenses and stuff. It's just there are certain things you shouldn't cheap out on, like, you know, your tires, your runners, and your bed. But camera gear, get the good stuff, because you'll end up paying for it back then.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, even when it comes to then restaurants and stuff like that, so we've kind of talked to a couple of people, and their sort of tips and tricks are, is that if you are going to be doing some research behind on going to a restaurant, especially if it's in a new location, is in to try and find like the same restaurants that are popping up on numerous occasions that would be on different searches. Have you kind of come up with any tips or tricks? I know you sent us to that place in Kerry when we went in. We had a rake of pints and some nice food and stuff like that. But that was just like...
Word of mouth. Traditional Irish cooking, though, wasn't it? So something you don't really find in restaurants these days. Everything is kind of some sort of cuisine, whereas like this was just homemade food, but it was like kind of fancy in its own way as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Good question, Kev. I think word of mouth seems to be the way forward. Or, you know, you see someone post on Instagram, bless yourselves, like you see something pop up and then you hear another two other people mention, go like, right, that's on my list now. I rarely search for nice Italian restaurants in Dublin or fucking nice best seafood.
I used to use Yelp all the time, but then I think the likes of Instagram, there's, you know, when you have a page that you can go to or you follow someone like yourself to take a man, you can see recommendations there. It's a good go-to, you know, for recommendations, you know.
Yeah.
I think Yelp is kind of something that's gone. Like people... the reviews of some places, you know, you have to really go and see it for yourself. And if there's a visual aspect, like a photo of food from the restaurant, you can tell by looking at a photo near enough, you know, if it's good quality or not. And if you look at a restaurant that doesn't have an Instagram page or photos of their food, mainly it's probably because it's not that great. So I wouldn't really go to a restaurant if they didn't have a visual aspect that I could see before I went and tried their food. You know, I'd always like do my research.
As long as it's not on a board outside the restaurant, faded 10 years old pictures of burgers.
Love
Dublin used to be good for that, but I think it's a bit that sort of it's very sort of paid ads for now, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, all of his stuff now is all it all seems to be all sort of paid, and yeah. It's like, oh, and today we're going to go out to such and such, and then you go through this amazing article, all these amazing photos, and it turns out photography by professional photographer, and then it's like ad, pay partnership, all this kind of stuff at the bottom. You're like, oh, well, that's a bit like, not saying like you're gonna get an honest opinion and stuff like that, but it's kind of like when you look at the Big Mac in McDonald's and you're like, oh, deadly, and then you open up the box and you go, oh, not sure about that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how many.
If anybody needs a photographer to take pictures of food, do
there you go.
We can make it look better.
We can do it for you. I can make it look even better.
Yeah, and like especially when I was over in Bali and stuff like that. One thing that I thought was so funny, like being in Southeast Asia or whatever, is seeing all of these glass cabinets and then looking at all this really like crazy looking food, and then you look back up and you're like, that's plastic, like that's like a fake bowl of stuff, and you're like, what? And it's real shiny and it looks great, and then you're like, no, that's literally a fake bowl of shit. So like that's definitely happened to me a good few times. Just getting completely blagged by something like shiny, like a magpie or something. It was crazy. So we'll just kind of go down to the last question, and it would be, would you order it again? Was it something that you felt really good value for money? Did it taste good, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure, I'll go first. So the Dolce Vita was the restaurant, as I said, the Italian restaurant in Kilmainham. I was looking at the pizza price on their own, were expensive, I think for like 16, 17 euro. Maybe that's okay. But they were doing Monday to Thursday deal to get two for 18 euro, which is really good value. So it's bank holiday money, so that's perfect. Got some sides and stuff, so really, really affordable. Definitely go back.
Well, happy days, huh? Good stuff. What about yourself, Ross? You popped their cherry, even though you had a bit of a mess up on the sides and stuff like that, but all in all, it tasted good.
All in all, yeah, it was pretty good. I don't know if I'd order it again because it's probably just such a big selection out this way. And I think, you know, I live very close to my favorite pizza place, which is called the Goat Scruff. It's actually like a food truck down by the Strawberry Beds. And they do like by far the best pizzas I've had in Dublin. So like they're literally a stone's throw away. They're probably like 10-minute drive down. So I don't mind driving down and collecting it. So if that was my choice, you know, for this, I said I'd go to Just Eat. I'll try something new that I haven't done before, taste it and try it. And it was actually very good. I think the value for money was brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
The pizza was good. The cheese fries are amazing. But, you know, if I was to order pizza, you know, I'd definitely, you know, pick the latter one.
Happy day.
Was that 5Ks up with a spin out there again, man?
Yeah, definitely. Ghost Scruff is the business. And hopefully, like, the Strawberry Beds pub will be helping me and get a few Guinness as well.
Yeah, a couple of little snaggy pints. Cool. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk to you before we kind of wrapped everything up, just in regards to what you guys do when it comes to your photography and stuff like that in regards to storage. Are you signed up to any of the cloud systems and stuff like that on your phone, or are you walking around with a huge, big hard drive? What way does it work for storing the likes of all the photographs that you take?
Yeah, I have a hard drive. I have SD cards. I don't really use cloud services for storing photos. I don't. I think it's just I'd rather have something physical that I can go flick, plug in, and flick through. You know. But yeah, maybe it's something I should look into. I don't know if I've never used any. You know, do you use the cloud services? Is it better or is it worse? You know, I haven't really tried any cloud services for storing my photos. Thank you. You know.
Yeah, I used to use Adobe Lightroom, and they have like by defaulting it's like 30 gigs of storage or something. So it's fine for basic storage for them. I did upgrade to terabyte storage. That's nice to like get your full catalog. But I got very slow after about 800 gigabytes or something, so I dropped it, and now it's all back to hard drives and that. Yeah,
I found that I with Lightroom, I obviously have Lightroom on my mobile, and that's great for stock photos. But when you're flicking through to like older photos, it takes a lot, very long time to load them up. So that kind of turned me off. It's cloud storage, it's just loading times and stuff. Whereas your hard drive, you're clicking and you're straight in, you know. I actually switched from Adobe as well. I'm using the Affinity Photo, so it's like a one paid off service. And I actually find it really good. Like, it takes a while getting used to it because you get so used to Lightroom and the whole Adobe suite and stuff. But I'm actually enjoying it because it's like I'm learning again how to use it. A lot of editing software. It's interesting. And I've been watching loads of YouTube tutorials and how to do certain stuff that I probably wouldn't have done before, because you just kind of get used to the basics in Lightroom and keep using it over and over again. Whereas like I'm kind of, because it's a new software, and every time I go into YouTube looking on how to video, something else will pop up on how to do this. Like, oh, Jesus, I didn't even know you could do that in Affinity Photo, and it's actually class.
Yeah, learning is most important, isn't it?
Yeah, you keep learning.
Every stale, you just with Lightroom.
Yeah, I find that generally.
Like what happened to me in regards to, and the reason why I ask you this question is because I've actually lost all of my photos for the last 2 years. I had all of my stuff for basically any, like all of my Thailand trip is gone. Bali, all gone. Ross was there when I showed him what I did to my phone, like, as I went on the, to be honest, it was a bit of a 5 week bender in Southeast Asia where I was like, it's grand. I have a phone, there's a case on it, it's waterproof, it's fine. And brought it back and showed it to Ross or whatever. And the phone, remember years ago, you used to be able to get like this key ring. Had water in it.
He was texting me while he was in Bali going, my phone keeps flickering, the light, the screen keeps going this color, and I was like, it must be faulty or whatever. He's like, bring it back and put it in. He brings it back, we're sitting in the pub, and he goes, I'll go, give us a look at your phone and let us see what's wrong with it. So I take it out of the case, and as soon as I take it out the case, the back of the case is covered in water, horrible, probably Bali water he brought home, and the whole back glass of the phone is smashed. I was like, there's your fucking problem, Kev. Like,
I had a case on it. I thought it was grand. Like, I think there's literally water coming out of it. But yeah, no, I lost all of my photos that I had. So, that's one of the main reasons why I kind of wanted, like, I was kind of holding these questions in to ask you while you were here, you know? Like,
on your phone, I believe in having cloud storage. Like, Huawei have their own cloud storage. It's actually like, if you have the new P40 Pro, you actually get free 50 gigabytes yearly cloud storage when you buy the phone. So actually you have 55 gigabytes. And I think for like, is it 250 gigabytes? It's like maybe a tenner or something for a year. Yeah. Actually really good. And that, like, that's a lot of photos and videos in storage. Mm. So like, maybe learn your lesson and do that next time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Especially when it comes to traveling and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, if you're not traveling, it's definitely worth investing the tenner. Like a tenner is 2 points, if you put it that way. Half of the PC I had tonight was only a tenner. So it's worth the investment for having those photos.
Oh, big time. When you put it like that, doesn't it? It makes no sense to have something.
Doesn't it?
It's definitely one thing now, like when it comes to everybody being able to kind of go and fly and travel and all that kind of stuff again. It's the first thing that I'm actually going to do is I'm going to set up the cloud account, do the pay thing, give them the 10 euro. Every photo I take, I know it automatically is going to go onto this magical cloud in the sky, and it'll be there until I delete it, hammered or whatever, you know, where to go from there. To infinity and beyond. The last question that we have here is called Infinity and Beyond. So it's just basically a quick little thing of what does the guest want to promote, and there's anyone you want to do a shout out to. So Nev, if you want to go first.
I suppose if you want to check out my photographs, then go to my website, which is lawlessireland.com. My Instagram is then at lawlessireland, and that's it. I don't have any other social media platform.
Happy days. Oh, cool. And is there anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Just a ma, back home, Kenny, well, ma.
Like your man in fucking winning streak. And what about yourself there, Ross?
Yeah, likewise, anyone wants to check out my photos, go on to Ross_Fine and Ross with 1X. Just that's the Irish version. There's not a lot of people that spell it with 2. Check out my page. If you're interested in any prints, I ship all over Ireland and worldwide if anyone wants any of the photos they like. And I want to give a shout out to Nuno Explorer for not making it last minute today for the podcast. He's been working like a dog, so fair play to him. But yeah, shout out to Nuno.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, no worries. Well, we'll definitely sort something out again. I definitely think once we get kind of the studio and we get the all clear where we can all meet up again and go in and have a few beers in the studio and stuff like that, it's definitely something that we're going to be working on in the near future. But yeah, we just kind of have to keep our heads down and everyone make sure that they wash their hands and wear a mask when they're supposed to. And yeah, go from there. So I just want to say a huge big thank you just to the two lads that have hopped on today, kind of giving us some great kind of tips and tricks and talk about some local food that's based in Dublin, Ireland. And yeah, so that's pretty much everything, guys. So thank you so much.
Cheers, Kev.
Thanks, Kev.
No worries, guys. Thanks.